Hey everybody, just wanted to give you one last reminder to head over to iTunes, drop us a review so that you get yourself into the contest to see the OVMF perform the music of The Force Awakens live in Montreal, June 12th. If you love the music of The Force Awakens, then this is not a show that you want to miss if you're in the Montreal area. So head over to iTunes, drop us a quick review, and send a screen cap to kyle@tumblingsaber.com, and you are in to win. So don't delay, you've only got a few days left. Get those reviews in, send them over to me, and may the Force be with you. Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 25 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. My name is Kyle, and with me this week is a cold glass of milk in a dirty glass. His name is Corey. What's going on, dude?
How's it going, man?
Not too bad, not too bad. Let's go ahead and wish our fellow countrymen a happy Victoria Day weekend. Although we sit here at the very tail end of the weekend on Sunday, not Sunday night, it's Monday night now. And it was a spectacular weekend weather-wise for us here in La Belle Province of Quebec, and I looked it up because I don't know why we celebrate this holiday, and I figured our pals over in the UK would also be kicking back and taking in whatever it is they want to take in on a holiday Monday, but no, it's a Canadian exclusive holiday. So everybody else was at work today, and we were doing nothing, enjoying 30 degree heat, which is something else for May. That would be close to 90, I believe. If you're a Fahrenheit guy.
Yeah, it was pretty insane for this time of year especially, but that's what we were talking about last week. This is always like the big kind of kick off the summer, but this really, really kicked it off. Like it kind of kicked my ass a bit.
Yeah, like I did a lot of work around the house this weekend, a lot of it outdoors too, and I am burnt. I am absolutely toast right now. So if I fall asleep, if you hear me snoring on the other end, I don't know if there's any way to buzz me or to ping me from your end. Because I am at the part of the weekend where my energy is just about at an end.
Yeah, I have had fun with that. You're pretty lucky not live.
Yeah, no, we haven't made that, we haven't crossed that bridge yet to do live podcasting. Maybe one of these days. But we got to keep the energy up here for another hour or so and talk about the wars. And it was one of those quality over quantity type weeks. There were a couple of big news things. What was the first? If I ask you what was the big news item to come out of last week, what would you say?
Yeah, the spoiler scenes from episode 8 for sure.
Exactly, and therein lies Rogue One's problem, right? So we had this huge, delicious drop of info, a huge bomb of spoiler-filled info drop about Rogue One, and that was just swept aside. Man, let's not pretend we talk for all fandom here, but you know, from your lips to God's ears, Episode 8 just overshadows Rogue One.
Well, it seemed like it, just the hype surrounding it. It wasn't necessarily more important to me in a sense, but it just does give you that feel that the saga trumps all, really. But
oh, absolutely. The episode of saga stories will always be the flagship, so to speak, of the Star Wars universe in any medium, whether it's film or comic or video games, what have you. But I felt kind of bad for Rogue One. And I guess we'll talk about both little bits of news in a bit here. But I felt a little bit bad because, you know, nothing huge has come out from this movie except from a trailer that tells you nothing, and then finally something huge comes out, and I bet you your answer is probably the same as the majority of fans, where no, the episode 8 bomb that came from making Star Wars, that overshadows. So in that sense, I have a little bit of a pity for Rogue One.
It's two different scenarios as well. Like, we had some character names released. Okay, big whoop. We saw a new ship. Yeah, okay, but there was nothing really, like, super tantalizing, and also I glanced at the images, and I had such a hard time, like, reading anything. you know, I read probably about two or three profiles, and I just didn't have the time. Like, I was doing it at work, and then I went back to the site afterward, and yeah, it was gone. Like, it was like, yeah, Disney asked us to take this off. They said it was basically not fully complete.
Yeah, I mean, Disney, again, we'll hit on this in further detail later, but Disney can ask websites that they would expect to cooperate to take down sensitive info like that, especially if it's spoilerific. They can ask. If it's incomplete or inaccurate, they can also ask. And maybe this is a case of all of the above. So I'm not surprised that Disney said, please take this down. I don't know if they went so far as to cease and desist, or if it was just a kind request. And so there was no reason not to just play ball in this instance. Besides, it was, the news was out long enough that it got through to everybody. I don't think anybody missed out. And if you still want to see it, it's not like it's unavailable online. It's still up.
Nothing was really mind-blowing either, though. I mean, like I said, I was dissuaded because they were so low res that I was like, who is this guy? Like, what does he do? Ugh.
No, you're right. A lot of the text was placeholder text, and was, even at that, even if it wasn't, it was vague, right? There was nothing really that you go, oh my god, about. We learned some names, which we won't talk about that. It's been beaten up enough around the web. Everybody kind of knows the names now.
I got a question for you. What would you think is bigger news, like headline style, if there were like two spoilers in the same week? There were the one from episode 8 and one saying that there was a scene where Vader was like battling in Rogue One.
If both of those items came out in the same week?
Yeah.
I guess anytime Vader is attached, it's big news. Since we're here, we may as well talk about it. It really was nothing more than a glorified look at some of the characters and their names and a couple new vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. And when you pit that against like the three main characters of the saga, when you say, oh, something big is going to happen with these other knights that we haven't heard anything of yet or seen anything of yet. Like, that's kind of exciting news, you know?
I guess so, yeah, sure. Is there anything noteworthy that you want to talk about from the Rogue One reveals?
No, to be honest, like you know, we said Biggs wasn't in it, which was kind of nuts.
Yeah, we talked a little bit off air before going on that there was that character, Cassian, that everybody, or portrayed by Diego Luna, I think, that everybody thought, not everybody, but a fair number of people thought would be Biggs Darklighter, or would be, yeah, and it's turned out that it's not either of those guys. So that, I guess, I don't know if it really was a wish so much as a theory, but it's buried. It's dead and buried, gone, goodbye. And we can move on to something else to grind our axes upon. And I think the target of my scorn, if I can call it that, maybe it's something I'm just hoping not to see, was with the Enforcer droid. And he sort of looks like a beefed up version of a medical droid. And I my fear is, because he doesn't look very Enforcer-ish, just glancing at him. And we saw his legs in the trailer. There's nothing particularly scary about him, right?
No, I agree. Well, actually, that's not true. That guy in Jabba's Palace, that protocol droid that disintegrated people, was always kind of scary. He kind of had that kind of head.
He's creepy. He's creepy, right? But I hope they don't go all Inspector Gadget on us with this guy, where they have like cannons and missile launchers popping out of hidden compartments on his shoulder and his back and his arms. Like,
no.
I don't want to see that.
No, I agree. Like one or two, okay. Like he's an Enforcer droid, but we've seen in the past, we've seen, you know, droids being able to kick some serious butt.
Like I would be reminded of the assassin droid. The R2 assassin droid from the Star Wars comic, where his dome opens up and out pop like a dozen cannons. It looks so cartoonish. It looks so stupid. I was like, what is that? That is not cool.
I was thinking of the one from the Clone Wars that was protecting the younglings. He was like a Jedi, kind of helping them build their lightsabers.
Oh, in the animated series.
Yeah.
Yeah, that robot is voiced by David Tennant.
Really, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Actually, my wife is the one that picked that out. We were watching that episode not too long ago as we did our sweep through the entire series. And she was walking through the room and she goes, "Is that David Tennant?" And I listened in. Sure sounds like David Tennant. Sure enough, we IMDb'd him and it was him. I wasn't aware. It took me this long to realize that David Tennant was like a canonical part of Star Wars lore, which is cool. Who doesn't like David Tennant?
For sure.
Actually, did you see him as in Daredevil? I forget what his name was. Kilgrave.
I haven't seen any Daredevil yet.
Oh, sorry, he wasn't in Daredevil. Excuse me. He was in Jessica Jones.
No. I haven't seen that either.
That's good TV, man. That is good TV. I'm very skeptical about what they're going to do with this Enforcer droid. I'm scared, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we can't be. I mean, it's Alan Tudyk, but...
Well, I'm not worried about the voice work. I'm sure he's going to be a completely charming droid, and it's probably, if it's Alan Tudyk, it's going to be funny. And probably endearing and have some really good scenes, but I'm worried about what they're going to do with him from an action perspective.
Yeah, you don't want him to be War Machine.
Yeah, just outfit him with a couple of weapons and let him be good at those two weapons or three weapons. But I'm afraid that we're going to get too many.
I see him being good at hand-to-hand combat and being like having the strength of at least like 5-6 men, you know. Like.
Yeah, for sure. That wouldn't bother me, really.
He could run straight from that trailer, for what we saw.
Yeah, he can book it, all right. Anything else? I mean, did you catch a look at that new TIE Fighter?
No, I didn't. But I want to say I didn't like the Enforcer droid's name, either. I think they said it was K2SO.
Well, everybody first jumped to K250, which sounds stupid. And then somebody corrected, I think that was on makingstarwars.net, that it was actually, they linked to a site that it had dug a little deeper, and it looks more like it's K2SO, which I'm okay with. That's fine with me. It sounds, from a cadence perspective, a lot like C-3PO.
Yeah, it does flow with Star Wars, but I actually prefer K250.
And we'll see. Maybe it is K250.
No, but that's the first one I was drawn to when I actually did see the leak. Like I went straight to him, you know, I was thinking for droids.
Yeah, I gotcha. Did you see the U-wing, the Rebel Fleet U-wing, or I don't know if it's a Rebel Fleet thing, but
yeah,
the what a piece of junk. I mean that.
Well, it looks to me as if like a ship from that they have available now was like. Merged with something from the prequels that was left over.
Like to me, it strikes me. It looks like a snowspeeder cockpit or a Y-wing cockpit. Definitely the coloring of a Y-wing, with X-wing engines strapped to the back, no wings, and two. I don't know what they're called, but like two mandibles or two tines, like of a fork, like pitched forward.
Yeah, it's odd.
It looks like almost like a sled, like a kamikaze sled. Maybe they all get destroyed in Rogue One, which is why we don't see them. And I almost hope that to be the case, because I kind of don't like them.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they can do and what their purpose is.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So let's save the Episode 8 stuff till later in the show. I wanted to talk about the month of May as it relates to Star Wars. Really, this is the holiest time of the year for Star Wars fans. And I'm sure every single Star Wars podcast that has been around for a few years has already done this. But this is our first go-around through the calendar, and we hadn't talked about it at all. But May is the month, right? It's the month where 6 of the 7 movies have come out. Maybe the animated movie came out, Clone Wars came out in May, I'm not sure. But George Lucas had a birthday in May. 74 or 72, I believe. Peter Mayhew had it turned 72 in May, if he was still alive. Peter Cushing would be 106 this week. And Frank Oz has a birthday in May, and I'm sure there's more. There's May the 4th.
Yeah.
This is the month. This is our holy season. And
Revenge of the 5th.
That too. I mean, like this is kind of our Christmas, right? We haven't given it proper due. And I thought. It'd be a nice way to honor the holiday season of May in Star Wars fandom. Just throw it. Let's throw out a couple stories of maybe some memorable in cinema experiences you've had watching Star Wars. Can you remember any? Does anything stand out for you?
Yeah. Well, definitely. I like how you memorable and not necessarily best experiences. But, you know, I have some great, great ones, obviously, and stuff that, you know, Star Wars used to really scare me when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember our unfinished basement. There would be times when the Emperor would be zapping Luke and you weren't there in the room with me, and I would have to run to the top of the stairs and wait until he was done being zapped, and then I'd run back down and be like, alright, it's all good. But,
yeah, there was a time where I couldn't watch Luke get his hand chopped off. I would just sort of look away.
Really?
In that brief moment. I just, until I was, I don't know, maybe 10, 11. I just didn't want to see it. So I guess that, which goes to show how attached we are to Luke, right?
Yeah.
Maybe definitely. We don't know it, but I think as we get older and now we're looking headed into the sequel trilogy, just how deeply connected we are to the Luke character. We want to know so badly about where his character is going to go.
No, well, there's a lot of scenes that are like quite unnerving as a kid. But
absolutely.
Either way,
continue. Tell us about
my most memorable. Okay, well, you and I. Okay, I was 18. You were 21 when the prequels came out. The first one in 99.
Are you afraid to say it by name? Like you're gonna call it the Boogeyman or something?
Yeah, well, Phantom Menace. We were there. Okay,
there you go.
Opening night.
Were you there with me that night?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were together. You got in. You got in way before me, obviously, but I came. Anyway, there was this giant lineup, and I got there like probably like maybe 3 hours before the show. You know, and the lineup was already quite extensively long. And okay, you have to take in mind again that I'm 18. So me and my buddy were there, and we're with another friend, and he stays in line, and me and my buddy go take a walk in quotation marks, and we come back, and like I'm like buzzed out of my brain.
Is this the point where if there's any young children listening that parents should apply earmuffs?
Yeah, not even really. Like whatever. Like I was just buzzed, man. Like it was hot day. It was a hot day. I remember that. And being in line all that time, you know.
So you walked over to Cheers and had a few adult beverages. Is that it?
No. It was more of an herbal remedy.
Gotcha.
Either way, we get back to the line, and because, you know, we timed it all, so now we know they're going to be opening the doors shortly, right? But that's, this crunch happened, and the line kind of like really
compressed,
yeah. So now we got to get back in this line, and I'm like really buzzed, and I literally, it was the one and only time in my life I had tunnel vision. I was about to pass out, so I had to like run into some random restaurant bathroom and just start splashing my face with water. And anyway, yeah, that didn't turn out well. They kind of kicked me out of there. But anyway, it was all good after until I heard, "Is that a Jedi?" I was like, "Oh!" I looked at my buddy and I said, "Oh man, what's going on?"
Were you guys tripping out?
Oh, whatever. It was what it was, but I'll never forget that. I will never forget that my whole life. Me and Billy, we looked at each other. These guys, these the gun rays, you know? I'm looking at them like, what's going on? He says, "Is that the Jedi?" I was like, "Who are these guys?" I was like, "Ah,
oh, pretty good new gun ray."
But recently when I went with you as well, I mean, we went to go see all the opening nights. We were all great, but I have to say the prequel, The Phantom Menace, was obviously the high of all highs. We were at fever pitch at that point in our lives where I was so immersed in the Star Wars universe at that point. It consumed my teenage years because, you know.
Well, the expanded universe books.
We just knew that the prequels were coming and we were just so excited and we just ate up everything we could at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. My memorable story also comes from The Phantom Menace, which of course, being teenagers when news came that it was coming and I was 21 when it came out, it also consumed my world. And so the day that Phantom Menace came out, like I planned everything in my life around that day. I think I had school that day too, and I just, that was not happening. Absolutely not happening that day. So I went with a buddy of mine and I got in line roughly around 7 a.m. For the midnight show. So that's a full 17 hours before the movie started. And so we're in line for the first several hours, and then my girlfriend at the time and her neighbor showed up, and they got into line with us, and it still wasn't too bad at this point. There was maybe 100 people in line. And we're standing around, and she's getting bored, but I'd given her plenty of warning. Like, it gets pretty boring standing in line, especially if you're not into this. Like, you have to make sure if you're going to stand in line, be ready to stand there for a long time.
Yeah, you have time. She breaks, drinking.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And she soldiered on for a while, but then there was a gust of wind. And keep in mind, this is May in Canada, so although it was, you know, 30 degrees today, 17 years ago, it was not. It was sort of a coolish day.
Really? I remember it being warm.
It was a nice day, but it was light jacket weather. And a gust of wind picked up, and she got sand in her eye. And it was the type, it was enough that, you know, fast forward to the end of this story, her cornea was scratched from the sand that she got in the eye.
Wait, is that drama?
What's that?
Was that actually, like, was her cornea actually scratched, or was it like...
No, it was. It absolutely was.
Wow.
Yeah, no, there was damage done. And, so she was standing in line after it just happened, and she's like, oh, I got something in my eye, and this hurts, and it's uncomfortable. I'm like, whatever, just splash some water in your face. It'll be fine. And she kept going on and on about how it hurt, and she wanted to, like, go have it checked out. And I was like, okay. Like, I was having none of it that day. Like, I'm not leaving this line.
Oh, I do remember this now. Go on.
Yeah, not one of my proudest moments, but like I said, this is, I'm talking about memorable, not best. So nothing is taking me out of this lineup, short of a nuclear explosion. And so she wants to go to the optometrist, and I'm going, I don't think I can go. And she's like, are you being for real? Like, yeah, I kind of am. I don't think I should leave the line. She's like, and just the look of death. I was like, oh God.
Just aforementioned, like, I know, now I know the girl and all that stuff.
Good girl. I mean, but yeah, great, girl. Great girl, but, intense when she wanted to be, and especially so when perceiving to be slighted, in which case, this case she was. I get that. But I was like, look, you're here with Louise, your neighbor. Why don't you two go to the doctor together and I'll stay here? And that was the last I saw of her that day. And, you know, as much as I tried not to think about it, it was in the back of my mind. So as I'm watching The Phantom Menace, a movie that...
Cell phone days.
They were around, but
yeah,
none of us owned any. I don't think any of us owned one. I certainly didn't. I was...
They weren't ubiquitous yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like a full 7 years away from owning a cell phone. So she disappears, takes off, and I don't see her again that day. But how much trouble I was going to be in was in the back of my mind for the rest of the day.
Such a damper on things when you know you're in trouble at the end of the day. It's going to be so good, but it's going to suck.
Yep. I knew it was going to suck. And I'm trying to watch the movie. And I'm, of course, desperate to not just enjoy this movie, but love it. And to be honest, I'm watching Phantom Menace, and I'm not loving it at the first time. And being in trouble played a role in that, but also, you know, it's the Phantom Menace. There were a lot of things that we weren't expecting that even to this day you're kind of like, ugh, Jesus. And I like the movie a lot more today than I did in 1999 and 2000.
Well, can you give me one more second? I've got to throw another one in here. You didn't say there were two of them.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, this is...
So the story gets worse. So it was a midnight showing, and we ended up getting home at, like, close to 3 in the morning. And my buddy and I, who I had seen the movie with that night, had tickets to go again at noon the next day. So we wake up early again, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to call my girlfriend just to see if I can smooth this over by phone. Which
I still have a girlfriend.
No, I did, for a short time after. So I called her, and I could just hear in the voice how angry she was. I was like, well, Mike and I have tickets for the noon show, so I'm going to go to that, and then I'll call you later. And it was just like, there was silence on the other end of the line. And I'm like, I just made it worse. Anyway, gotta go. The movie starts in about an hour. Bye. And, yeah, anyway, long story short, I was in trouble for many a days thereafter. And that is one of my more memorable Star Wars experiences in the cinema. Now, to be honest, I don't remember much about...
Wasn't she wearing an eye patch and everything? Didn't she have a thing?
Yeah, no, she had to wear something. And I had my own cornea injuries in the years that followed, so I know what she went through.
That's the image that brought it all back for me, because I remember her coming over. That's the other thing, too, though. You know, Kyle, did you ever follow up with this thing? You know, like, did you actually ever see a doctor?
No. She went. Absolutely, she went. No, there was prescription eye drops to keep out any infection. No, definitely, she went. So anyway, not one of my proudest moments, but definitely a memorable Star Wars experience, which would have been made a lot better if I enjoyed The Phantom Menace a lot more time, or a lot more than I did at the time. But that summer...
For you. Yeah, you saw it so many times.
I saw it 21 times that summer, and a lot of it due to the fact that not too long after The Phantom Menace, for some reason, I had no more girlfriend. I can't figure out why, but I had a lot of free time that summer. I don't know. I'm not sure why she didn't want to...
We want to know the funny part is, though, she came back for years afterward, no?
Yeah, I know. We ended up getting back together. We were together for many years. Until we weren't.
Yeah, that's fine, but still. That's the final word. She came back.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
I don't know where the getting's good, right?
Hey, man.
And I don't remember. I don't think my experiences for Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith were that memorable. I think it was just... I don't know if it was because of prequelitis that cinemas had and fans had that... Oh, God. What's going on now? But it didn't seem to have the same buzz. It definitely didn't have the same buzz as The Phantom Menace. And being in line, it was just sort of a much more tame experience. And I would even apply that to The Force Awakens. Especially now that you can order your tickets online and you can actually pick your seat. We didn't have to line up at all, so we didn't take in that experience. We just showed up at the cinema and went to our seat right before the movie started.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anything else stand out for you?
You know, it's funny. I don't remember going... I did go to the Attack of the Clones, but nothing sticks out to me. Revenge of the Sith, I remember... I was living with you at the time when it came out, and yeah, basically, it took me probably about at least an hour to get out of the parking lot of the cinema, because there's 11 cinemas there, I think, and I think 7 of them were showing a midnight showing, and I ended up getting home at it was close to 4 in the morning, and it wasn't that far from home. Really, it's like maybe a 15-minute drive.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I remember people driving over the curb and with Jeeps and stuff, which is funny. But
yeah,
just recently when we went to go see the Force Awakens, you know, the day that it was there, it really hit me. Because, you know, I have a young son, and his birth kind of coincided almost close to us finding out that we were going to get new Star Wars movies. So that always got me thinking, you know. I started getting back into it, and I was reading a lot on IMDb, and I was keeping it up to date. And then I said, you know, like, what's my little man going to look like when this movie comes out, you know? So it was kind of like a rush of emotion in that regard as well. And also, I remember being in the theater with you, and I just, when the scroll came up, the opening scroll, I thought... I was having like a panic attack almost. Like I felt like I was almost having a heart attack. I was like, oh my God, like don't do this now. Not now. Like I was squirming in my chair. And that lasted for probably about a good 45 minutes into the movie until I fully calmed down. which was quite odd. I think I attributed it to the coffee you had made me prior. But
blame the coffee.
I don't know. It was scary. It was actually pretty scary because at a point I wasn't focused so much on the movie. And I was compensating for that by keeping the drink. I was drinking this giant soda. So then probably after like the hour and a half marker, I was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
No, I would rather pee myself than leave a Star Wars movie for the first time.
Dude, I was starting to weird thoughts were coming in my head. I was like, I am not leaving this theater. Like, but there's many more good memories to come, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think with the Force Awakens, I think I don't know if I learned anything. I hope I did. Whether or not I could put anything into practice and tamp down the emotions, that's a different story. But I remember being so nervous when the movie came out. I just felt like it's almost as if like it was my movie that I made, and I was sitting in a cinema full of critics. It was a weird feeling. Like it had to be so engrossing from the word go. And I found it, not that it was hard to get into the movie, but just processing the moment of being in the cinema with a new Star Wars movie. Like, it didn't sink in until the 2 nights later, I went with my wife, and I was 100 times more relaxed, having gotten that first viewing out of the way. But I heard from a lot of people that the first time they sat and watched it, that, I was just so nervous and so excited that it's all a blur to me, and I had to see it again just so that I could take it in properly. And that's exactly the way I felt. So I don't know how to apply that to Episode 8, Rogue One, Episode 9, whatever. Like, how to go into the movie just relaxed. And I guess if you were still in your wake and bake days, and if James were here, he would have some advice to impart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's not my style, but we'll see how it goes. Like you said, there's we're gonna have a lot of practice, so.
I couldn't agree with you more, though. I want to touch upon that for a second, too. We've said it before in the past, but my second viewing, I loved the movie the first time I saw it. But again, I felt the same way. Like, I was just so nervous. And like you said, it was for such a multitude of reasons. And the second viewing, I loved it. I just loved it so much more the second time around.
Yeah, I totally agreed. Now, did you see the special editions in theater?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
Well, again, that's even like before the prequels, so I was really
those are your deep wake and bake days, so you everything's a kind of a fuzzy blur.
But yes, I do remember. I remember taking all the buses. We had to take the city buses. I mean, we probably walked. You know, this is dedication, man, for the kids out there. We used to walk and bike everywhere, goddammit. We probably walked to St. Anne's from Mill Pro, which is probably at least a good, 5 kilometers? At least?
It was a 45-minute walk.
Yeah. So, you know, just to get on a bus, to go somewhere else, to transfer somewhere else, to get to the theater, and then walk again. But we used to do that all
absolutely.
The time.
All the time. That was just the norm. We're dating ourselves here. You know that now, right?
That's fine.
You're having I'm old moment.
Those days are done. Just like you said, like, same thing with the whole experience of the prequel fever, is that everything was hands-on. And those days are really done, to be honest.
Well, just to be replaced with something different. There will come a day when opening night for a Star Wars movie could very well mean catching it at home.
You ever seen that episode of The Big Bang Theory where they're all trying to get to the California Comic Con and they're just sitting
there? I don't watch that show.
Really, eh?
I do not watch that show. I don't know if that is sacrilege or not, but I've seen it once and I've seen it like clips here and there, and I just find it somewhat insulting. The show's somewhat insulting to geeks.
I like it. It's kind of funny. It gets her done.
Yeah, to each their own, right?
Yeah, but it's funny. Like, they're all sitting there one day and like, they're trying to get into this Comic-Con, and they got their laptop set in front of them, and, you know, they see the countdown coming on for when they're able to start trying to get tickets, and all are trying to get into one of these rooms, and they're just hitting enter, 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 or whatever it is, you know? So I hope it doesn't come down to that. You're my Star Wars hookup. You've always been. I'm like, Kyle, I've never had to go through the rigors of getting opening night tickets. I'm like,
I'll leave it up to somebody else next time.
Dude, I remember, I think even back in the day, you were such a dick with me sometimes. You were like, I'm like, you gotta give me prequel tickets, eh? Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing that. I'm like, no, like, I could be in school or work, whatever it is. Like, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna do that. Like, please, Kyle, what are you gonna do for me? I'm gonna tell Mom, tell me to get me prequel tickets. Like,
yeah, you got it taken care of.
Yeah, you did, man. You hooked me up. I know. I'm forever grateful for that.
You know, I will interject with my, I guess, really only special edition, special memory. And it was, I think, for Jedi. And I was seeing it with friends, but I had a friend that worked at the theater as well.
Didn't we see one with Dad, too? We took Dad to the theater to go see Jedi, no?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think
we... I saw them four times in cinemas apiece. I still have all my ticket stubs. But for Jedi, the opening night, they were giving out that special edition Luke Skywalker figure in black robes. And my buddy worked at the cinema. And he said, don't worry about it. I got you covered. And so with that in mind, and not necessarily wanting or needing to have the best seat in the house for a movie that I've seen already a couple hundred times, I just showed up, half an hour before the movie. But I had a stash of these special edition figures set aside for me. So I think I gave away a couple of them to friends who were in need, and I still have one of those figures. I think probably a lot of people listening still have that figure. But that's sort of our stroll down memory lane, and we'll probably revisit that. You know, next year, A New Hope turns 40, and so I think any Star Wars podcast worth its salt will probably do some sort of retrospective episode, and will probably be no different.
There's so many memories I have with you, and Most with you, a lot with friends.
Well, think about it. Next year, A New Hope turns 40. The Phantom Menace will be old enough to vote. Jedi will be... Oh, my math is terrible at this hour. It really is. It's going to be, what, 36? No, it's 37. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even going there.
But anyway, I think the two big ones will be A New Hope turning 40. 4-0, that's crazy. And the Phantom Menace being old enough to drive, vote, all those crazy adult things. So we'll definitely be talking about retrospective stuff next year. But for now, I think we can fast forward to today, and, well, I guess more specifically, the future, Episode 8, and some potential huge spoilers. The boys at MakingStarWars.net, they keep doing it, and hopefully they will keep doing it forevermore. But they had a couple of doozies. So one last week dropped about a battle sequence between the tag team of Rey and Luke versus the excessively large team of Kylo Ren versus the Knights of Ren, where Luke squares off with the six or seven Knights of Ren, while Rey and Kylo go at it 2.0 style with. I don't know, Rey ending up on the losing end? Is that the impression you got?
Yeah, kind of. Or not necessarily, because it's kind of an odd description. Like, Kylo doesn't seem to be in any hurry to get away either, supposedly, you know? Like, but...
Well, yeah, if he's not in a hurry to get away, I would imagine that he's having an okay time in the fight.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They use a lot of wire work, guide wires and whatnot. So yeah, I think we're in for
it. Sounds like an insanely cool sequence with a good mix of lightsaber battling and force abilities. I can't wait to see this.
Well, and everyone's kind of curious what the Knights of Ren are going to be up to as well. You know, like, who are these guys? What kind of powers do they have? Are they just like, you know, are they Inquisitors? In a way, do they have force sensitivity, or are they just like badass dudes? And that's a big question. I think that is
TBD. We do just don't know yet.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I love the mask thing. I love the masks.
But it sounds like Luke is going to just be super badass. Like we're not going to see a guy who is just touching the ranks of Jedi Knight, we're seeing a guy who's become a full-on master in the 30-plus years between Episode 6 and Episode 8.
And I really hope to see that, to be honest. I want to see something. I want to see that Luke's made some kind of breakthrough in the Force where, you know, we've talked about this before, where he's met some kind of understanding where he's like a super Jedi, having gone back to the roots of the original Jedi, that he's found something that was missing for eons, kind of. And
you mean humility?
Who knows what it was.
Because the Jedi that we knew in the prequels certainly lacked humility and foresight. For as much as they like to meditate on things, they botched a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
They screwed up a whole bunch. Anyway, so that report sounds like it's going to be super cool. I can't wait to see that. But it also then today, another report from Making Star Wars, that they'd caught a report, something was filmed somewhere in Ireland where there's a group of guys all in black kneel around something that is sort of smothered in smoke and fire. And it appears to be what looks like it might be some kind of crashed ship, a small ship that has crashed. And it could be that Kylo Ren is on that ship. And now the Knights of Ren were waiting for Kylo so that they could go then deal with Rey and Luke. So I wonder now if this doesn't mean that there's some sort of passage in time between The Force Awakens and Episode 8. Like, I feel like Kylo maybe sends his minions out to keep looking for Skywalker. They find him, and then Kylo just comes crashing on the scene.
Yeah, I see something like that happening.
In that instance, you would allow for Kylo to have gone back to Snoke. Because I think there's some confusion, right? And probably by design, where we think that Episode 8 picks up immediately where Episode 7 left off. Yet, that doesn't make... It may not make sense, because if this battle sequence that we're learning about is in the first act of the movie, and I would think that it is, because I don't think that Luke and Rey will be on Act 2 for the entire duration of the movie. That sounds kind of boring. If this happens early on and Kylo Ren shows up, it means it didn't... If he shows up immediately after The Force Awakens ends, it means he didn't go to Snoke to complete his training. Correct? Am I making any sense?
Yeah, but, you know, we're looking a little too deeply into it again. Like, I believe, you know, I really do think Snoke is going to be with Kylo for at least, we'll say, like, a good 6-month period. Rey's going to have at least a good 6-month training, and so will Kylo. Star Wars has never done it. You know, there's always been a flow to the movies, but who knows? Maybe they'll have a Rocky montage where Rey's getting trained up. Something along those lines.
That would be cheesy.
Agreed, but they can easily portray the fact that she's been there for quite some time, while both sides are kind of, as you've mentioned before, licking their wounds, more or less.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I think that should be part of it, that there has been some passage of time, so that, like Snoke says to Hux, bring Kylo Ren to me, it's time to complete his training. So you have to allow that to happen, and allow Snoke to complete Kylo Ren's training over X amount of weeks, days, months, whatever it is. And so I think this battle sequence, if it's in the first act of the movie, I think it would tell me that some time has passed between The Force Awakens and Episode 8.
Right away, like, you're kind of making my mind go out in a direction right away. And I'm going to go out there and say, like, Finn's story is going to be the story that carries the movie throughout this film. He's going to be the vehicle for the film to move along at a steady pace, while Rey and Luke do their things in the background until they become the forefront as the movie encroaches toward the end, if you kind of follow me.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to be doing two things. I think there's going to be a grander a story on the galactic scale, which Finn and Poe will probably be at the forefront of.
Leia.
And Leia, of course. And there's going to be that intimate personal story about the journey of a hero and a Jedi, and that's going to be Luke, Rey, Kylo.
Which is obviously the story we're all dying for.
I think that's the one that most fans are most invested in. And
but there's no reason... There's no reason for us to believe otherwise. Like, a lot of people maybe this might sound stupid as well, but a lot of people out there have the idea in their head that when they watch a movie, things are being filmed from A to Z. The first scene, you start at the first scene, you film to the end. But when you're making a movie, you can shoot the first scene, the last scene, you can shoot the last scene of the movie as your first day of production.
I get what you mean. It's probably a complete jumble.
Yeah, well, whatever makes sense logistically is what's going to dictate where they save money and whatnot. So, you know, it is a jumble, exactly.
Anyway, good stuff. Good stuff about episode 8, and I think I think maybe we may have pieced together a sequence where, you know, this is probably not much different than putting two and two together, but the Knights of Ren have located Luke and Rey. They contact Kylo Ren, who joins them on Act 2 in this kamikaze crash in this little spaceship, and they go from there to meet Luke and Rey.
Yeah.
And then we see the battle that we've just been talking about. So there we go. I think we've pieced together.
Hey, the crashed ship kind of raises a question too, you know? Maybe, like we said, Chewie and R2 are hanging around on the Falcon. Say, hey, some guys just showed up. No good. Because why would he crash there? How else would he crash there? It doesn't make any sense. Or something crashed there. We still don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? And maybe it's not a crash. Maybe he's... Who knows? It's too early to say. But it sounds like a really cool sequence.
Definitely. And I can't wait to hear the music they set to this. From what I heard, too, it's like kind of like a nice day that as it turns to night, it rains. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, the cinematography has really taken a jump forward, I think, in the sequel trilogy. Even though the prequels had some great stuff, too.
Of course.
Okay, so that's that. There were some other smaller news items that came out last week, but we got to keep this show tight.
What about the name of the movie that you heard came out?
Oh, geez, yeah, I had that in my stupid fan theory of the week, which I thought was so stupid that I wouldn't even talk about it, but since you went there, we'll do it quickly here. And the clickbait sites really, they really got their money's worth out of this one. But Fall of the Resistance, which I think is as stupid and lazy a title as you could come up with, made the rounds. I don't know where it started. I don't care to look. But the clickbait sites, for sure, they all threw it up there. Here's the title. And someone leaked the title for episode 8, and they would show that grainy picture supposedly from a poster being used at UK Celebration, which is, unless that picture came from the future, Star Wars Celebration is happening in July, not May. So somebody is either a time traveler or full of crap.
Well, it's pre-production stuff for that will be underway already, which is why they're trying to play off that, but...
Well, yeah, but the what they showed was a teaser poster, not a celebration poster.
But no, I didn't like the title at all either. I thought it was really lame. But again, it wouldn't surprise me either, you know?
Think about it for a second. The Resistance, from what we know at this point, is not a very big body. It's poorly funded. Its support system in the Republic has already been knocked out from under it. And they're also, Leia and the Resistance, they're kind of seen as a nuisance. Always talking about this First Order, and oh my god, the First Order is going to ruin everything. And the rest of the Republic is just like, no, leave them alone. Let them just do their thing way out beyond the Outer Rim. Leave them alone. It's so lazy. It's so lazy. And so, anyway, my point is, Fall of the Resistance. It just lacks any punch or drama. So, who cares? Like, nobody would care if the Resistance fell. The Republic, whatever's left of it, would be like, yeah, okay, they're gone.
No, I doubt that at this point. They know they're all that they got. They're like, okay, you guys are right.
Well, the Republic has its own fleet. I'm sure they would then be ready to rise up and fight the First Order, as I'm sure we're going to see. It's terrible. All right, so let's jump over to our random thoughts section, and we'll start with our buddy over in the UK at Talk Star Wars, which is another great show that you guys should all be taking in. So Rob at Talk Star Wars asks us, would you rather be a bounty hunter or a smuggler in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
It's a tough one.
It is.
Two seemingly cool jobs. I'm gonna go ahead and say I would like to be a smuggler. Just it seems like you can have a more normal life. Just because you're a smuggler doesn't mean you have a target on your back, I don't think. Like, you would have to either be a screw up and dump shipments like Han. Like, if you were a good, reliable smuggler, maybe you don't have too much to worry about.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the other side of the fence. I find bounty hunters, they're like almost like real estate agents, you know, like, that's not, I like steady, consistent work, but smuggling's kind of contractual as well, so I'd rather go with bounty hunting because the bounties are probably higher. You have much, much cooler toys. You kind of got like no rules really technically apply to you directly. What else? Yeah, you can, like I said, like, you know, you score a big bounty, like you could still, you know, you score, you stay home with the kids for 2 years.
Well, then again, think about it this way. You can kind of almost consider smuggling in some respects to be almost a victimless crime. You know, maybe, you know, you're not necessarily hurting anybody. Maybe you're an enabler, a link in the chain that hurts people. But you yourself, you're just moving things from A to B. You may not even know what it is you're smuggling. So if you're a bounty hunter, you might be ruining somebody's life, man. You might be taking a mother or a father away from a family just because they want to move some illicit goods. You know?
Well, you know, as a good bounty hunter, you got to be like a Batman about it. You got to really know who's the bad guy and who you should be going after. And
I think a bounty hunter is just after the paycheck, right? They don't care. Nobody's show me the face. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go get him. This guy was actually once a really good guy. Don't care. I need to get paid.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, you choose your contract. You choose your bounty. So you got to go after the big contracts where, you know.
Well, I also feel like it's sort of a feast or famine job. Like, I don't know how many wealthy bounty hunters there are. If you look at the ones in the Star Wars universe, they all look like they're basically glorified homeless people.
Well, so is smuggling.
Look at Dengar.
Yeah. Yeah, all bandaged up.
I would sooner see him pushing a shopping cart through the streets than holding a blaster.
I can't afford a back to tank.
No, I mean, I don't think being a bounty hunter is glamorous work by any stretch, whereas if you're a smuggler and you're good at it, you have your own ship like the Falcon. You've got friends like Lando. I don't know, and you don't necessarily have to be a jerk about it. I don't know, I'm going smuggler just because I don't want to necessarily have to ruin lives, because I think as a bounty hunter, that's what you do.
Well, smugglers do too.
And I totally get the argument of I would rather be the hunter than the hunted. I totally get that.
That's what it leads down to too.
But I think, you know, it's a feast or famine type job, and
You said that you'd turn a blind eye about it as well. Like, you wouldn't even want to know what you're smuggling. You could be smuggling slaves or coke or spice. Spice mines at Kessel, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, there's that. There's that. If you're smuggling slave labor, then maybe you deserve to be bounty hunted.
And it's not as glorious as it seems either. Like, look how happy Han is to score, like, Obi-Wan and Luke. He's like, yes, we got some passengers. Oh my god.
Well, because they're willing to pay through, pay through the nose.
Yeah.
More than Han was asking.
Yeah. But still, he was scrounging for work in there. That's, you know.
All right. So, a tough question. Actually, we split on this one. Usually we kind of agree and fall on the same side of the fence. So I'm glad this time around
we
kind of have split opinions. Although, if you ask me again tomorrow, I'd say, yeah, you know what? I think bounty hunt is probably a better option.
Yeah, because I could consider flying. And the ships, you mentioned that as well. You'd have to be flying some kind of shitty freighter ass. Well, the Falcon's cool, the Ghost. You know, the Shadowcaster's cool, and Slave One. What else are some bounty hunting ships?
Nothing else comes to mind. We just know Slave One. I don't know how many other ships are out there. Anyway, you got one?
Yeah. All right. So I was trying to think of one that would lead off what we've been doing for like the last 3 weeks. We kind of had like a theme that was going, you know, you'd meet someone, you'd have a drink with them, and you're listening to music, and I really couldn't pull anything out of the hat on that one. So I thought about it a few minutes, and luckily, like, you know, they've been kind of flowing, because at first it seems a bit daunting to kind of come up with something that seems kind of cool. But if you would have to choose in the Star Wars universe, and especially for you, excluding Chewbacca, I didn't say all Wookiees either.
Oh, you said just Chewbacca.
Yeah, just Chewbacca. Who would be the Robin to your Batman, the Bonnie to your Clyde, the Goose to your Mav? Like, who would you have as a sidekick?
My setup. So, who would be my wingman?
Yeah, your wingman, exactly.
Oh, man, I feel like the minute I say something, I'll want to change my mind. I'm going to go with Mr. Lando Calrissian. I feel like he's got his hands in all kinds of different pies, where you can kind of be a chameleon around the galaxy and get by anywhere. Well, Lando's my pick.
You definitely have to have, you know, I thought about Lando, and I thought about a lot of people, you know, but all these guys are all scoundrels, and they're out for it for themselves, you know. They have no, from what I understand, in their past lives before they join the rebellion, is they really don't give a crap about anyone. Like, look what he does to Hera in that episode of Idiot's Array in Rebels. He's like, leaves her.
Yep. No doubt. Like, if you partner up with Lando, you are setting yourself up for a knife in the back, I guess.
But you're also setting
yourself up for some really good times.
True. You know, obviously you gotta have a pull on his heartstrings. You know, if you had a, you know, if he really liked you, you know, he wouldn't screw you over. If you had his loyalty, he'd be a good dude.
Sure.
It's a pretty good choice.
Until such time that he had to roll on you, and then it's over. You're dead.
Yeah. That's it. I thought about it, and I thought so many people would be cool, you know, pair up with a Jedi, whatever. But I would be the sidekick to a Jedi. But then I thought, who's the most loyal? Who can come through in the clutch all the time? And what are the Astromechs? Always, you know, R2, Chopper, they're always coming through in the clutch. They can kick some serious ass as well, you know. And, you know, they're just so loyal. They're like little puppy dogs.
That's a solid choice. An Astromech is not a bad thing to have around. Super handy.
Exactly.
As long as you have somewhere to plug them in to keep them charged, you know, they'll faithfully fetch a beer for you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're like, well, like someone's got to man the guns while I'm flying, or vice versa. Like, they're all over it.
No, that's a solid pick. Nicely done. Not going to beat around the bush. I think we're going to call it a show right there. Keep this one nice and tight. Well, Corey, thanks for hopping on. It's been a long, long, long hot weekend, and it's back to the regular grind of the 9 to 5 tomorrow. So, thanks again for showing up.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm really not looking forward to that either. It's like, today feels like it's Monday, but it's also Sunday, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, I know what you mean. And thanks everybody out there for tuning in to episode 25 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. And if you want to get in touch with the show, if you want to send us your Would You Rathers that we can kick around on the show, variety of ways you can get those questions to us by email at Kyle@tumblingsaber.com. You can send that to me at tumblingsaber on Twitter, and you can include Chop Rules on that. That's Chop Rules with a Z at the end, or a Z. We're also on Facebook. You could drop us a line there if you're on the group, or if you want to join the group, please feel free. And remember, if you're in or around Montreal, this is your last week to get in your iTunes reviews to get those tickets, those free pair of tickets to see the OBMF play the Music of the Force Awakens on June 12th. So don't wait anymore. Your time is just about up, and we're going to be announcing the winner of that contest next week on the show. So stay tuned for that. And until then, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you again next week.
watching you walking away from me? Were you watching me? Was it just a dream? Just a dream. And I believe I can save you. Just don't let me go. And I can see I'll be waiting, always waiting. And I believe I can save you. Let me save you. And I can see I'll be waiting, always waiting. Just don't. Just don't.